Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a show where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell you our stories, you tell us your stories. It's a fun time had by all.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Katie.
I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red. Do you want to say
it? How was your week?
How was your week? My week was good. I'm in the process of renovating my kitchen. So I have been looking at paint samples, doing lots of thrifting.
I love it when you do this. It's really fun. Because you build a space out of your imagination, out of your brain, out of your creativity that is just so remarkably beautiful.
You're so sweet.
It's so true. And you're like, how did she think of that? Oh my gosh. Wait, how would that go? I love it. That's why I love going thrifting with you.
I have a good amount of delusion. I'm doing wallpaper on the ceiling and I'm like, have I ever done it? No. Everyone's like, oh yeah, tell me how the wallpaper on the ceiling goes. I'm like, we're going to find out.
That's so cool.
We're going to find out because I don't know, but I'm like, I can do it. I can do it. I'll figure it out.
You can see it. And then when you make it happen, it looks wonderful. I'm DIY. Telling you, I'm not blowing smoke up your butt.
You're sweet. How's your week been?
I have one thing that I did want to say. I mean, I talked the first episode about Fireborn, my yoga instructor.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Fireborn. So I went to his class yesterday and I'm sad to say there were no crystal bowls. There was no gong. There was no guitar. There was no breath work. He was just in his tight swimming suit trunks.
What?
And then it was a normal class and there were hardly any people in there. And
was he still called Fireborn or did he just go by Michael now?
Fireborn. And I was like, what is going on? So as he's leaving class, he's like, this is my last Thursday here. I'm moving to El Salvador and I'm opening up a yoga studio and I'm going to open up an acai bowl shop.
Oh, so he already packed all his bowls
so
away.
So I was like, what? Yeah. And I stalk him, right? You know, like I stalk him. So I was like, I didn't know this. Why didn't you tell me? So I go out to the lobby as he's sitting out there, decompressing from the class. And I just lean in and I'm like, thank you so much for everything, Fireborn.
Aww.
You don't know what you've meant to me. And Katie, he did the weirdest thing and I'm never going to see him again.
Oh God. What
he Al Pacino'd me.
He did?
He goes, yeah. That's all he said. And I was like, goodbye. And I just slipped out and I'll never see him again.
I guess he was really
excited. That
was the
weirdest reaction. My face was like, huh? Like it looked like I was like, okay, bye.
Because he's always very mellow and chill and you expected.
I was like, okay.
Because he's like, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah,
I'm
he
moving.
Just hated
I'm
his
bouncing.
Job.
I'm done. Realize. He's like, great.
So that's my story of the week.
Oh, man.
I know.
Well, let's get into some stories.
Let's get into it. You want to start?
Sure, I'll start.
Okay.
Okay, this first story comes from Ken in Florida, and he writes, when I was going to college, a couple of my buddies and I decided to live in Miami for the summer. I worked at a popular restaurant bar there so I could afford rent while they just kind of dicked around, had fun, and spent their parents' money. Must be nice.
Yeah, seriously.
We spent most days going to the beach and most nights going to parties. The job kind of sucked, but there were a lot of hot girls and it was fun flirting with the staff. I worked as a server and there was this one hostess, Marilyn, who was really into me. She flirted with me and we had great banter. We weren't 21, so it could be tricky getting into bars, and my roommates and I loved throwing parties. Marilyn and I would get drunk and make out at parties and flirt at work, but one night after a party at our house, she stayed late and I invited her to stay over. We were both pretty drunk, but we got in my bed and started making out, and she unzipped my pants and proceeded to go down on me. I felt kind of like I had to pee because I'd had a ton of beer to drink. What's gonna happen?
Oh my God.
But it felt so good, I didn't want to stop her, and I thought it would be fine. I orgasmed, and suddenly she recoiled violently, spit everywhere, and rolled off the bed. Startled, I asked her if she was okay, and she exclaimed, did you just piss in my mouth?
Oh my God.
I
want to scream into a pillow.
Imagine.
Oh no, no. That is worse than
imagine.
A horror movie to me. I just feel like I could not believe that happened. Does that happen?
Those
people do that to people?
The fluids she was expecting. I was horrified. Could that really just have happened? What? No, I blurted out. She cut her eyes at me and said, I think I know the difference between cum and piss. And that was definitely piss.
Oh
what
God.
The fuck?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Seriously, dude. What the fuck?
What happened next only served to make things worse. And I have no explanation for myself other than an out-of-body experience. I started telling her how I had to drink piss as part of the initiation for my fraternity and how it wasn't that bad.
Oh my God.
Then I even started rambling on about some story I had heard once about how certain tribes in Africa drink pee And it can even be beneficial for your health.
Oh my God.
Justifiably so, she looked on in horror, wide-eyed, shocked and disgusted, and finally interrupted my rambling to say, well, I didn't have a choice and I didn't want to drink pee. Do you have a toothbrush I can borrow?
Yes, good for her. She is awesome. What a good, like, what? You're going to double down and go into what the health benefits of drinking pee are?
Well, it sounds like he just was so mortified and so humiliated that he just didn't know what to say.
He was trying to, like, brainwash her. Yeah. You know, being like, that's actually meant to be.
I followed her to the bathroom, anxious and mortified, and continued to ramble as she brushed her teeth. I didn't want her to think this was some weird fetish and I had done it on purpose. It really had been an awful accident. The mood was ruined and it was super late, so we went to bed. She left early the next morning and I tried to smooth things over as best as I could. As she was leaving, I asked her, just tell me one thing. How long before Christina knows about this? She looked at me with a smirk and said, honestly, the second I leave here. I said, that's what I thought, and hung my head in defeat. She did tell her best friend, Christina, immediately, who was kind of dating another friend of mine, and she immediately told him, and before I knew it, all of my friends knew, and I had earned the nickname Golden Boy for the rest of the summer.
That's so sad.
Luckily, summer was almost over. I didn't face Marilyn again. I couldn't. She called me a few times after that and actually wanted to see me again, but I was too humiliated. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's rough. A relationship.
So, I mean, he didn't mean to.
No,
he
that's embarrassing.
He was wasted. He had to pee and he thought that he was orgasming and he was not. And that is humiliating to do.
That's embarrassing.
Like,
totally.
It's humiliating on all counts. Like for her, for him, for everybody. Like that is rough. Could you see someone again if you peed in their mouth?
No. No way. Nope.
You couldn't do it. You couldn't get past it.
No. Could you?
I mean, when you think about it from the reverse. I mean, I imagine it's happened with guys a lot more. I mean, can girls do that too? Maybe. Yeah, they probably could. But like, you have to think about it. Like, if that happened, how hilarious would that be if it was a girl and not a guy?
Yeah.
Like, how much messier that would be. And crazy.
I don't think it would. Yeah. That's like, crazy.
Yeah.
If you have a story about how, if you're a woman and you peed in someone's mouth, please tell us.
Please tell us.
We are investigators.
We are investigators.
That's amazing. Yeah.
But he got a nickname.
You know what? So he is there telling other men who've peed in women's mouths that look, it happens.
I bet he never did it again.
No.
I bet the next time he kind of had to pee, he said, hold on, we got to wait.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. It is hard because, both, it comes out of both the same thing. It comes out
it's
of your
pretty wild.
Pee-pee if you're a man. It's pretty wild.
Pretty wild.
All right. This is from Lance in St. Paul, Minnesota. And he writes, I'm an actor and have worked at many regional theaters around the country. This particular time, I was performing in Oklahoma and St. Louis. When I arrived, I was greeted by a really kind assistant director who told me she admired my work. Instantly, I felt akin to her. For the next 3 days, I made a point to sit by her in rehearsals, joke around on breaks, and talk to her about everything under the sun. 2 weeks later, we were all on break from rehearsing, and I saw her looking a little timid off to the side of a big group of actors who were chattering away and laughing. I made my way over and asked how she was doing. I'm fine, she said. There was a pause, and then she said, it's my birthday.
Aw.
I know. I sprung to life. It's your birthday? I said, amazing. Why didn't you tell anyone? Everyone, attention, please. We have a birthday. And then I jumped into leading Happy Birthday. Asking a group of musical theater actors to sing happy birthday is like giving a cupcake to a child. They gobbled it up.
Yeah, it's like you don't need to tell them twice.
Oh my God, you're like brought to tears. Soon, every cast member was singing their heart out, and the result was a stunning rendition of Happy Birthday, complete with cascading harmonies. As we sang, the assistant director marveled at the spectacle. Did I see her eyes glistening? But as we rounded the corner to the part of the song that goes, Happy birthday, dear, I froze.
Oh, no. Always the worst.
Everyone got quieter because no one could remember her name. The song came to a halt. It was silent for a second until she said in a low voice, Kate. And relieved, we all boomed, "Dear Kate," and finished the song with a thundering crescendo. That's so embarrassing when you forget someone's name.
Yeah, it's like
when
everyone forgot her name. And so she was already feeling like, no one knows it's my birthday. No one cares about me. And then it's like, oh my God, here's this amazing song. Oh, no one actually even knows my name.
I know. It was so embarrassing though, because try as we did, Kate was left knowing that no one knew her name after 2 weeks of rehearsal. She's assistant director.
God,
she's getting them like
coffee.
She's, yeah.
Ooh, that's shitty.
A cast typically practices for 3 weeks before opening night. So Kate knew in the instant it got quiet that not one after 2/3 of rehearsals were over, after she'd gone to get us coffee and anything we needed, that not one person had bothered to
learn
her name.
That's so sad. But also, yeah, like not one. Because if you're that one person, then you would be belting it and then they'd all just like join in after you.
Yes. But and it got quiet and she had to tell them. She'd be like,
"Dear you.
Dear sweet face.
Dear hey you."
That's
cutie.
What I would have said. Yeah. "Dear cutie." That's what I would have said. Yeah, so he said, for the rest of the run, her and I didn't talk too much. The damage had been done and couldn't be reversed. I will never, ever sing that song to anyone again unless I'm sure I know their name. Yeah, that's happened to me where I'm like, oh, this is so-and-so and this is so, and I like forget the person I'm introducing.
I feel that sometimes, like if I'm out somewhere and I don't know, it like feels like a lot of pressure, the introducing sometimes. Yeah. So sometimes I will literally blank on somebody that I definitely know their name and I've known them for years or whatever. Yes. And when I'm introducing them, sometimes I'll just like go blank for a second and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I think it's the fear of what if I forget their name? It's so weird, but that has happened to me where I'm like been on the spot and then I'll just be like, oh, this is Mary Kate. And then you introduce yourself.
Yeah. And then you just wait. And then the person's like, I'm Kate, you know, but I also have, you know, when someone gives me their name, I sometimes just, it doesn't land.
No.
And then if I've then disclosed personal information about myself, like had a deep conversation with that person, I'm always embarrassed to ask their name again because they
it's
just
super
assume,
embarrassing. Yeah.
That they know it. So that's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
But I love that they were all singing to her so loud in this musical theater, like beautiful booming crescendo way. And then they all got quiet.
They tried to make her feel special and they made her feel even worse.
I know.
She was like, literally not one of you knows my name.
So sad.
I got your coffees. How dare you?
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to spit in them from now on.
Mm-hmm. Don't blame her. Okay, I got a really good one next for you.
Oh, I'm excited.
Okay, and this one, we have like, I don't think we've had a surgery story, actually. This is a surgery story.
Oh, God.
Okay, this next story comes from David in Wisconsin, and he writes, "About 10 years ago, I had to have a major spinal surgery. It was a very serious, complicated, and intense surgery that took about 7 hours.
Oh, God.
God, so, like, anything spine is just like, ugh, it sounds so awful.
I know.
I had to be opened up both front and back.
Oh, God.
Yes, you read that correctly. At first, I was laying on my back and they made an incision at what would be considered my bikini line, fully opened me up, taking out a portion of my intestines and moving organs around.
Oh.
They operated on my spine from the front. After they completed that surgery, they had to put everything back inside, sew me up, flip me over, and start another surgery on my back. Isn't that the craziest thing you've ever heard in your life?
I literally cannot move.
First of all, I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't even know that any back surgeries or spinal surgeries were performed from the front.
Neither.
I would never even imagine that that was like a possibility that they could do that from the front. Like they're moving your organs in and out, like with a C-section or whatever, they'd be like pull everything out. But I didn't know that they operated on the spine from the front. I just assumed it was always from the back.
Yeah.
So bonkers.
Because they have to move your whole stomach and your intestines out of the way to get to your spine from the front.
A 7-hour surgery. And that, like, also to think about, like, obviously he's unconscious, but to think about how painful that would be if you weren't, like, being flipped over even after everything has just been, like, put
and
back
the healing
in and
process.
Sewn up.
I just want to hug that person, whoever gave you the story. I want to give him a big hug.
All I can tell you is after they mess with your intestines that much, the process of going to the bathroom will be changed. After the surgery was over, I stayed in the hospital for a few days. Because it was a major surgery, they had me on a morphine drip on a timer, which felt amazing, and I was super hot. Have you ever had a morphine drip?
I've never had a morphine drip.
Me either. It's like heroin, isn't it?
It's straight opium.
It's hardcore.
Yeah.
I was super messed up and couldn't walk, and I got the sudden sensation that I had to go to the bathroom. It had been a couple of days since I'd gone to the bathroom, and this would be the first time since surgery. I tried to think about what I should do. I was high and out of it, as I mentioned, so I was not thinking rationally. I don't know why I didn't just call the nurse. Maybe I was embarrassed and it was late at night, but what happened next was a lot more embarrassing.
I
mean, what is coming? Running on adrenaline and morphine and desperation, I somehow struggled out of bed and I hobbled my way to the bathroom. I had, can you imagine after you've had spine surgery on your front, from the front and the back, you've had spine
surgery.
You've
stitches like through your body.
And your spine is what holds you upright. So it's like, wait, what? How do, is he just like, I guess his legs are that strong. Like, how is he doing it, right?
He's like a marathon runner.
He's like hobbling.
He's like Iron Man.
I had a lot of pride and I was convinced I could will myself to make it. I don't know how I even got to the bathroom, to be honest, but I made it there. Then I had to get my pants down. I struggled to get my underwear down and was already kind of bent over and I fell forward. What happened next can only be described as a violent explosion.
No.
To this day.
His guts like exploded out of his body.
To this day, I can't even explain how it happened, but I shit on the ceiling. Yes. Process that. I shit on the ceiling.
What?
The pressure was amplified by my surgery, and I had a nuclear explosion that sprayed all over the walls, and I kid you not, the ceiling.
That is so funny.
Can you picture that?
Oh my God.
Butt's just pointing up.
I just love it. Like the surgery had somehow made it so that it was like
a rocket.
It was like a rocket.
I know it sounds ridiculous and impossible, and I wish I was kidding.
See that on camera.
They had cameras in the bathroom. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
But it happened. I was too sick and tired to even attempt to clean it up. So I wiped myself, washed my hands, and hobbled back to bed to go to sleep and pray this was all a bad dream. I mean, the guy's high on morphine. He's had surgery. He can't clean it up.
There is a
He's nurse out of it. Oh, just wait.
Just wait.
Okay. That's not the end of the story.
Okay.
That's not the end. Okay. That's not the embarrassing part yet.
Oh my God. That's not.
I mean, it is, but it's not. It's only embarrassing. Like if a tree falls in the forest, you know, right. It's only embarrassing if someone's there to see it. The next morning, the room attendant came by to clean the room and the bathroom. Normally, that just entailed wiping the toilets and sink, etc.
Taking some trash out.
I remember her walking into the room and she was shocked. Eyes wide. She looked at the ceiling and gasped. Can you imagine? I profusely apologized and said, I don't know how this happened.
Yes, you do.
And she proceeded to have to clean up my spray paint can shit. I wanted to disappear.
I'm sorry.
Can you imagine?
If getting that surgery has any bright side, it is that you now poop like you are a graffiti artist.
Yeah, exactly. He graffiti shot all the way up to the ceiling. All the way up to the ceiling.
That's crazy.
That's wild. But imagine her face. Like she's like, I mean, it probably stunk, but she's like, opening the door. Like, let me just clean the trash cans like usual. Yeah. Looks. And she's like, oh my God, this is the rest of my day. Clear my schedule. Like this is the rest of my afternoon.
This is like the Sistine Chapel of shit. Like, how did this happen? Was there an exorcism last night?
But he is like, I don't know how it happened because how did he shit on the ceiling? Like,
Because wait, he's wearing a robe, so his butt's exposed, obviously.
Well, yeah. Well, or he had pulled his pants down. His underwear down.
And his butt was sticking up. It's just like,
it rocketed out. Yeah, it rocketed. It like rocketed out.
I think we need to like close up this podcast for the day. Because I'm not
going to
stop laughing about that.
Isn't that crazy? Poor guy. I mean, that is a good one.
That's the end of the story.
That's the end. There's nothing else. That's the end.
That is the best. I think we need to start giving out awards.
Right? It's really good.
That so far, that is the funniest story I've ever heard in my
it's
life.
It's really, really good. I've never heard of anyone shitting on the ceiling. It's pretty fantastic.
Just having projectile vomit. Because you started that. I mean, that was so scary to think about that surgery and like, oh my God.
I mean, that's definitely a risky surgery. Like that's a seven-hour
thing. Then you fall and you're able to like projectile poop on the ceiling. It's so funny. And you're high on morphine.
And so you're just like, I'm going back to bed. Like maybe I dreamt it. Maybe it didn't really happen. And then you realize it did happen when you wake up to the nurse going in there and seeing her face horrified. And you're like, oh shit, that wasn't a bad dream.
You're like, there's poop on the ceiling. That's dried. It's dried.
Oh, that's it's dried by
part.
Now.
She has to. Oh, God. Okay. Wow. That's the best story I've ever heard in my
life.
It's
so good.
Whoever sent that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
David.
That was the best
story.
David in Wisconsin. Thank you.
So good.
Oh, God. Well, this next story is just going to pale in comparison to that one. I hope I didn't like laugh too loud through that. I hope the audience was able to really take in that story and just laugh.
They're laughing with you. They're laughing with you.
Woo! Okay. This story is from Amanda in La Jolla, California.
La Jolla.
Oh, get those giggles out. Okay. She writes, I was dating a guy, let's call him Pete, who invited me to his best friend's, let's call him Dave, birthday party. I didn't know at the time that it was Dave's 40th birthday party and that it was a huge surprise. Dave's wife had been planning this party for months and months, and she'd painstakingly invited all of his friends and coworkers. She was flying his parents down from Oregon. Relatives were arriving from all over to be there. This party was going to be epic.
I know what's going
to
happen.
There were t-shirts made, goofy pictures printed, and ready to hang on the wall of the venue, and even a special cake with his face on it. But I didn't know any of that.
Oh, no.
To this day, I'm not sure if Pete was trying to play it cool, but all he'd said when he asked me was, my best friend's birthday party is this Saturday. Do you want to come?
Oof.
I'd said, of course. And that was that. I hadn't met the guy yet, and that Friday we met up with him at a bar. Dave and his lovely wife were sipping drinks when we arrived, and I thought it was a good sign that Pete wanted to introduce me.
Oh, no.
When I was introduced, I said, oh my goodness, it's nice to meet you. I've heard so much about you. Thank you for inviting me to your birthday party tomorrow night.
Oh,
birthday
shit.
Party, he said as his wife stormed away towards the bathroom. My date swung around on me and said, oh my God, what have you done? He looked like he was going to cry. Dave went to go find his wife and Pete told me everything. I felt terrible. I'd totally ruined the surprise.
That sucks so bad. Sucks. And the wife hates you now. Oh, everybody hates you now.
Everybody hates you.
You haven't met any of these people and they hate you.
Yeah, you can't go to that birthday party.
You have done it. That is the worst feeling in the world. But poor thing, because she didn't know. He should have told her it was a surprise. And also, especially, like, guys are so dumb. Like, if that was a woman saying it, and, you know, not all guys, but
no,
like,
they would have, most of them.
Most of them are dumb. They don't think about details like women. I'm sorry. It is different, like, for the most point. For the most part. And if that was a woman, she would have said, hey, you're meeting Dave. FYI, don't forget, it's a surprise party.
Don't tell
anyone. Do not say anything about the party tomorrow. Make sure you don't mention anything about the party tomorrow. We would have said it 50 times.
Yeah.
Whereas like a guy's like, oh, he's having a party. Come on, let's go. Like,
and that kind of laid back approach to things just drives me crazy, because then it's something like that's going to happen.
It does.
And then they're shocked and
it's
like
not
horrified.
Her fault, but that's the worst feeling in the world when you ruin something unintentionally.
A huge surprise
it's
party.
Terrible.
I mean, all the work that went into it.
Planning it. And have managed to genuinely keep it from him, because usually you find out something. You see something.
Or
like,
you're trying. To
yeah.
Find out.
You find out something.
Your friends are like, I'm busy that night.
Yeah. Yeah. But the fact that they, like, he genuinely didn't know, they hit it, it's been months, and she's the one that breaks it is so embarrassing.
And the night before, it's not like his wife could scramble and be like, I don't know who she is. Like, she might have met someone else. I don't know what she's talking about.
Yeah,
you know?
She's crazy.
And also, the wife's reaction confirmed it, that there was a party, because she stormed away and was upset.
If that was me, I would have just cut her off and been like, what are you talking about? There's no party. And tried to obvious.
Who is this bitch?
Yeah.
throw her under the bus.
You must be mistaken. Oh, you're thinking of his other friend. And, you know, I would have been like, oh, you're thinking about so-and-so, their party's tomorrow night. And that's their different person. You know,
you are so quick on your feet.
And I would have looked at her with death eyes that were like, if you say another
daggers.
Word, I will cut you, bitch.
Yeah. I will cut you. But just shove your drink in your inner face and say, like, try this. This is really good.
Or just actually throw your drink in her face. oh, you need to clean up now. Oh, let me go with you. Let me help you. Oh, so
that
sorry.
That reaction would have been amazing. My hand slipped. All of a sudden, she's just soaked with
oh, no, you
got
to go to the bathroom. I'll go with you.
Oh, your hair's ruined. Let's go. I'll show you where it is. And then you just get in the bathroom, just slap her face.
Okay, so did she say what happened next?
So then she said, I didn't end up going to the party because I felt too awkward, and Pete and I broke up soon after that. I still cringe thinking about that moment and wish life allowed do-overs. Me too.
That sucks.
I wish life allowed do-overs too.
Yeah, that really sucks.
That sucks.
And it sucks that everyone was mad at her when it's really not her fault. Like, you know, that's not her fault.
I still think she should have had a little bit of a little bit of awareness. Maybe ask a question like, oh, what kind of party is it? What are we doing? Where is it? You know, and then. But still, she didn't know.
Yeah.
She walked right into it. She didn't know.
Yeah.
It's not her fault.
That's definitely on.
That's on him. Dating.
Okay, I got another one for you.
All right.
Okay, so I got this next story from the Cup of Joe blog, from their embarrassing stories. They have so many good ones on there. And this one is from Lauren B. And she writes, In my early 20s, I went on a date with a guy I didn't know super well. We lived in a small town with not much to do, so we drove to a larger city about an hour away. I was on my period, and at dinner, I excused myself to use the bathroom, where I promptly realized I had bled through my pad and not brought another one with me in my purse. Idiot. She said that, not me.
No, you're not an idiot. That happens all the time.
That is the worst feeling of, like, panic, you know?
That's terrible. But so she bled through her pad, so then what happened?
I wadded up some toilet paper and shoved it between my underwear and jeans, as one does, that's hoping this will absorb any blood. What else can I do? I barely knew this guy, and I was way too shy to say, hey, can we stop somewhere so I can buy some pads? I mean, yeah, that's so awkward.
Takes it to the next level.
After dinner, he suggested we go bowling. Is there any activity that's where your worst backside is more on display?
That's
literally like, look at my
ass.
That's
actually happened to me before, where you're like bowling. And
you were on your period?
Yes. And you're wondering, like, can people see it? Yeah, of course.
Ooh,
so crazy.
Yeah, that's like, that's not the activity to do when you're like having a leak.
Ugh.
By the time we're midway through bowling, I am aware my jeans have a large period stain on them.
No!
When it was my turn to bowl, I would run up, fling the ball as fast as I could, and then whip around so my butt wasn't towards him. I was slowly dying inside and had no idea what to do.
Oh my God.
You imagine, you know there's a stain on the back, and you literally, she's trying to hide
yes.
it. So, like, he's like, you're the worst bowler I've ever seen. She's like,
he's also like, why don't you let me look at your butt? Like, I like you.
She, like, goes backwards to throw it.
She does, like, the moonwalk.
She flings it really fast and then whips back around. She's like, hey, I did it. I'm just going to try, like, throwing this one through my legs real quick. Like, let's just see.
Yeah,
like backwards.
Reverse.
Let's just see how
that's what I would have done. Yeah. What would you do? My God.
But I mean, yeah, she's young. That's so hard. I just kept going to the bathroom to try to clean up and put in new toilet paper. In hindsight, I could have asked around at the bowling alley, but I was barely 23 and I was so insecure in this moment, I would have rather died than ask for help. The worst part was we had to drive an hour home, and the entire drive, I was just sitting there envisioning what my pants were going to look like when I got out of the car. That's so awkward and so uncomfortable.
Yeah, because you don't know if you leaked on a seat.
Finally, we pulled up to his apartment and parked next to my car. I hopped out and was mortified to see I had left a period stain on his leather seat. Oh, my
yep.
God.
Gross. Just kidding. It's happened a million times to so many people.
As he was walking around the car to tell me goodbye, I hastily licked my fingers and tried to scrub the blood out of the leather. To this day, I know he had to be aware of the giant period stain on my jeans during our entire date and the lovely stain I left on his car seat. He was a super nice guy and never let on. And honestly, I don't know if that makes it more or less embarrassing. 15 years later, I still cringe every time I think about this date, and no, we did not have a second one.
No, that's like, okay. I feel bad for her. That's embarrassing, but you know what?
No, that's so embarrassing.
Guys don't know. Guys don't know what it, it's hard.
They
it's
don't
hard.
Know what we have to go
period.
Through. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so, that's
but that
brave
feeling,
to tell us
we've
that
all
that
had
story.
It, had a leak. We've all had
yes,
that feeling.
I bowling, totally.
It, like, you know, the fear of, oh my God, is it staining my pants? Can they see it? Is it, you know, what's going
yeah.
on? And, you know, being at the bowling alley, yeah, you're like so obvious on display for everyone
yes.
with your
and
ass. Like, there's, that's like, if you want to show off your ass, go to a bowling alley.
I know.
For a date.
I forget that guys just literally check out asses all day. It just seems like what happens that they just, you know, they're just going to look at your butt.
And that is mortifying. I know. I wish she had like a shirt or something to tie around her waist.
Right.
Like, that's the classic move, you know?
The classic move is you take your shirt off. You're in your bra.
She probably had like a tank top.
Your waist.
She had like a tank
and then
top
you're fine.
On. It wasn't working.
No, yeah. That's so sad. I mean, but kudos for telling that. That's awesome. Let it out.
Yeah.
We may not have to go through that stuff, guys.
They don't know.
They don't know. Oh my gosh. Okay. This is from Raven in Georgia.
That's so Raven.
That's so Raven. And it's a boy.
Oh, okay.
Woo.
Hi, Raven.
All right. So Raven writes, I like fantasy television shows. And during the pandemic, that's what my girlfriend and I watched.
Of course you do. Your name's Raven.
We rewatched all of Game of Thrones. We rewatched
Amazing.
The Witcher, even though we just finished it. I'd played the game, and so it has a special place in my heart. My
Wait,
girl,
The Witcher's a game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't
Huge.
Even know
It was
know
a game
that.
First.
Oh,
so
it's like
was,
Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah. But so was that one with, oh, my God, what's his name? Oh, this is going to drive me crazy, and it doesn't even matter in the podcast, but, like, what's his name? It's there are a lot of shows that they've made from video games to like, scripted
yeah, yeah,
series.
Yeah.
Like, that one with Pedro Pascal. That was a game too. The one that just stopped.
The end of the world one?
Yeah. That was a game. John played that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Husband.
Oh, crazy.
All right. So he wrote, my girlfriend hadn't been a fan of fantasy until she met me. Her style was more Mad Men or Breaking Bad. She liked, as she puts it, well-written dramas with flawed protagonists at the helm. I think those shows are snooze fests. Entertaining at times, but nowhere near as exciting as, say, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It was in its time, or House of the Dragon is now. One night, we were up binge-watching The Witcher, and there was a scene where a particularly buxom sorceress is standing on a bridge, gazing down.
Who says buxom? That's hilarious.
Sorceress is standing on a bridge, gazing down at an invading army, raining arrows down upon her. This sorceress's corset wasn't leaving much to the imagination. Without thinking, I asked my girlfriend if she thought that the girl on the screen was going to get an arrow in her boob. My girlfriend was silent. Then she turned to me and said, why? Because her boobs are so enormous that they're bound to get an arrow in them? Because an arrow could never miss those enormous tits? He really stepped in it with that one. I was so embarrassed. My girlfriend called me out on looking at her boobs. But where else was there to look? I mean, they take up the whole screen, I heard myself saying. She got really annoyed. But we continued
He's
watching.
He's like making it worse. He's like, but they're really beautiful and big. And aren't you looking at them too?
Yeah, of like looking at a sorceress's boobs, right? And her big old corset. And then imagining an arrow like going into her
bosom. That's so random and
that's
weird.
So fantasy and so cute.
Yeah.
It's cute. Okay, sorry, guy. That's really cute, Raven. We're still together and she still makes fun of me about that. Anytime a girl walks by with big boobs, I have to hear the question, do you think she's going to get an arrow in those boobs? I'll never live it down. It's so cute.
That's cute.
Like, oh, do you think she's gonna get an arrow? Like, genuinely concerned because he thinks her boobs are so pretty and that they're gonna get wrecked by by an arrow in a
then
TV
he can't
show.
Enjoy them anymore. What are you gonna do?
That's so cute, Raven. That's so Raven.
Okay, I just have a cute little quickie one that I remember happening to my dad and my mom telling us as we got older. So I was like, I'm gonna tell this one because it's still, it might only be funny to me, but it's pretty funny to me. So my dad was taking a nap on the couch and one of my older sisters, who was about 3 at the time, was playing with his hair. My mom yelled to him from the kitchen that she needed something at the store for dinner. So he got up and went to the local grocery store. Aww. When he got home and walked into the kitchen, my mom started hysterically laughing and could barely get out the words, you went to the store like that? My dad said, like, what? And he ran to the mirror in the hallway. He also busted out laughing and said, that's why everyone was staring at me.
What happened?
While my dad was sleeping, my sister had taken a bunch of those colorful plastic bow barrettes and stuck them all over my dad's hair. Do you remember those? Like the big plastic bows that like clip?
That's so cute.
So his hair was sticking up all over and looked ridiculous. And he had like 10 different pink, white, yellow, and blue bows snapped into his hair and didn't even realize. And this was the 80s in a small town. So this is like not something seen. So picturing my dad going to the store in like a dress shirt and khakis with his hair looking insane and clipped up with like 10 bows.
That's
like
so cute.
Is the funniest thing ever. And the fact that he didn't even realize,
didn't
like
even notice.
He didn't even do a quick glance in the mirror, not even in the car. Like he didn't feel the weird bow in his hair. Like it's the funniest thing to me.
He didn't touch his hair when someone like gave like looked all around in a halo at him when they were
in
the store.
Think about what that looked like. Like this guy comes in, they're like, oh my god, he's on crack. Like what is this guy doing? Like he looks so scary. Like he probably like he was groggy, he just had a nap and he's like shuffling in there to like grab whatever my mom needed for dinner, and they're like, look at the, like
they're
everyone's
like that
scattering.
Guy's gonna buy a ring pop, don't talk to him, don't
make
eye
from
contact.
This guy.
Don't let him into the alcohol section.
I thought that was so funny.
I think that's so cute because that's such a dad thing.
It's such a dad thing,
You know, like your sister just thought it looked good in his hair. And it was like, oh, he's going to wake up and it's going to look so pretty the whole day. And then, oh, I love that story. It's so cute.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I have one more.
Yeah,
I
mean, let's hear it.
Okay. So this is from Angelica from Lincoln, Nebraska. And she wrote, this is so embarrassing. I can't believe I'm telling it. Once I was going for a jog with a new friend I'd met in my neighborhood who was also a jogger. Elaine was a nice person and a serious runner. Jogging with someone passes the time better. We were going on a pretty small run.
Does
I mean, I like to go jogging
Does
with
it?
People. Because you just jogging. Talk about everything and then the hiking, next thing you know, it's done.
Jogging, no.
I know.
You want me to talk while I'm trying to just breathe? Get out of here.
I know what you mean.
Get out of here.
I know. I was pushing a stroller up a hill the other day and my friend was talking to me. I was like, so bad. Okay. So we were going on a pretty small run on a hiking trail through beautiful woods, about 3 miles, and it started out great. With a nice pace going, things felt easy. Until they didn't. I'd eaten Raisin Bran a few hours before my run.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no.
And then right before, I'd had about half a cup of coffee.
That fiber's gonna get you.
Do that? That's like you trying to poop.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just kidding.
Getting all Angelica, the fiber.
Don't worry. You probably forgot about the Raisin Bran. We get it. So we're running and chatting, and all of a sudden, I just feel an urge to poop. They came on very quickly, and I decided I'd let any air out that needed to escape as we ran. She doesn't seem to notice as I'm slowly deflating like a balloon. But the urge to poop gets bigger and bigger, and I'm not kidding when I say I have never before or since had to poop that badly.
Oh, no.
I did what I had to do.
Oh, no.
I told my new friend that she should run ahead of me and that I'd catch up because I had to go to the bathroom. The look on her face haunts me. There were no bathrooms around. There was no way I could make it home. She said she'd wait for me, but I practically screamed no in her face.
She probably thinks she has like pee.
Yeah. And then when you scream no in her face, she's like, oh, to poo. Reluctantly, she ran on and I frantically searched for a secluded place on this not so private trail to unload. Ew.
Was she on Runyon?
I know. Oh my God, Runyon. That would have been so public. That would have fallen on the Hollywood side.
Nowhere to go.
Someone's marveling at the Hollywood side and just like thinks that it's a bird poop, but it's a human poop.
But that is a horrible feeling that you are in the middle of nowhere. There's no chance at a bathroom. You're on a public hiking trail.
You're probably wearing like jogging pants.
It's either that or shit your pants. So you've got to find
no
a space.
Way. Yeah, you have to find
you
something.
You got to find a tree. You got to figure it out.
You got to dive into something. Like, I found a spot, but with no lookout. Yep, a few joggers ran by and may or may not have seen me squatting. No one stopped or said anything, which I was grateful for. I finished and wiped myself with leaves.
No.
Like I was camping.
Oh, no.
I then had to discreetly run away and leave my poop there for all to see. There was no other option. I was appalled at myself, just mortified. I never caught up to my friend. We didn't do too much running together after that. You never have a second chance to make a first impression. Oh, her friend's like, hi.
Her friend just bounced. And she was like, okay.
I mean, it's not really super embarrassing. I mean, it's embarrassing, but like, you know, it happens. What are you going to do? Poop your pants? That's even worse.
Yeah.
You're jogging with a new friend and all of a sudden it just smells like poop.
I thought she was going to wipe her pants with poison ivy too. Wipe her ass with poison ivy.
Can you imagine getting poison ivy on your butt?
That'd be pretty painful.
That would be terrible.
Pretty
that would keep you off the trails
painful.
For a while.
Yeah.
We don't have any poison ivy stories.
Yeah, send us your
Do
poison ivy
write
stories.
Write us in. I'm really glad so many people are writing it.
Yeah, it's nice. We love hearing your stories. And if you have a story that made you turn beet red, please share it with us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. And if you liked this episode or any of the others, please rate, review, and subscribe because that helps us move up the charts.
And tell a friend.
Yes, definitely.
And if you want to support the show, you can buy us a coffee at our Patreon. It's linked in our show notes. If you can't beat them, join them. See you next week.
See ya.